Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Today we have a guest. We have Cindy Thornburg, who is the president of the Information System Security Association, ISSA, the local chapter here in Colorado Springs. Welcome, Cindy. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you.
Well, we are interested in the things that you have going on and your members in Colorado Springs, because we're really kind of focusing on this effort, economic development in Colorado. One of our last podcasts was with the Office of Economic Development. Found some great insight about what they're doing as far as seeding things in this state. But Cindy, tell us about ISSA, you know, what size you are, what types of things you do, and how many members you have, and how people can get involved, I guess, with to start with.
Okay, the local chapter has been here for 25 years, so we are well established, have seen a lot of the changes. We have members that have been there for a long time, and we have members that are brand new to the field. We currently have over 410 members. That does fluctuate because some of our members are military, so they come and go. Mm-hmm. This chapter, the local chapter, is about networking, about talking cybersecurity, whether it's in the technical field or the policy side. So we hit the whole gamut. We have people interested in all aspects of it. Our chapter meets at least once a month, whether it's a dinner meeting or a lunch meeting, and there are a few months during the year that we have both of them to get to everybody, the people that can take an hour off for lunch or more for a meeting, and then the people who can't, then we have the dinner meeting so they can attend and get the similar information. We provide two conferences during the year, one in the springtime, which we've partnered with UCCS, and that's a one-day conference that we put on about cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. And then we also do a conference with Federal Business Council, and that is a two-day conference. It started out with two-day conference, one major area to speak. We are now into three different areas or tracks that we do offer or will be offering to include some very important keynote speakers.
Yeah, and that's coming up here late
that
summer.
That will be August 24th and 25th of this year down at the Hilton DoubleTree off of Lake Avenue.
Do you have a lot of people come from out of town for that, or do you think that's more of your members? What's your
The population is local cybersecurity professionals, but we do have people that come from out of state, whether it's New Mexico. They do come up here for that conference also.
Okay. And so not too much like international flying in. Have you got that type of attention, or is it?
Not at this time, but that doesn't mean we're not trying to get there.
We're getting there, huh? That's awesome. So ISSA is an international, a national organization, quite a few chapters around the country. I know I was a part of it back in early 2000s when I was going to school here at Colorado Tech for quite a few years. And then I looking to get back involved. We were just talking about that before. The last time we talked to Cindy, I was like, I'm going to become a member here so I can start going to events. And yeah, that needs to still happen. But we definitely will get plugged together. So tell us about what types of things you're doing in this local community and local area for cybersecurity.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world.
Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
In this local community and local area for cybersecurity.
Okay, for the local area, we do have a lot of things that we have done, are going to do, are doing. The first and I think most important that we started up a couple years ago doing a mentorship program with UCCS. So members of the chapter will meet with the Pikes Peak Chaos, which is UCCS cyber group, mm-hmm. and talk to them, these college students, about cybersecurity paths that they can take, whether it's in security or even if they're into software engineering, how security plays into that, so that they get a focus, a different view of what they're doing. So that has taken off. We are working with Colorado Tech University to get with their students. Mm-hmm. We are also trying to work with and in the process of working with the high schoolers in District 49 is our starting point. They seem very interested in us talking to both the teachers that are teaching computers and to the students who are taking it in the different paths that both of them can go down. And especially with the teachers, if they're teaching computer science and not actually working into the field, they start losing what's going on in the field. Mm-hmm. And as a chapter, we can help keep them up to what's going on. They can hear their conversation, they can be involved in the conversation, then be able to relate that back to their students.
And you offer a lot of training programs for...
We do. We do have several training programs that we are offering. Our two major ones is CISSP. It's a training for every other Saturday because it is an eight-hour class and a lot of information coming out. And then we also do Security Plus. We just expanded to a two-day program because it has increased in their difficulty in taking that test. We also have study groups. So if you are interested in like CISSPIP, which is another version, or CISM, which mm-hmm. again is another certification, we can then call out to members who have that certification and people who want that certification, and they can do some study groups.
So you're not about the certifications, in fact, but networking, bringing people together, support for people who want to achieve these type of things in their career. That's what I'm hearing?
Correct. We're not about you have to have the certification. We're about if you're interested in the certification, we have people who hold that certification and can help you with any questions or actually just go over the material with you. You know, there's a lot of training programs out there. Mm-hmm. We on our website, we do have a very good website. It does offer training, and we show our training, and then we also show other training that you can go out and pay for, and then some free training out there. So most of the people can do great by watching YouTube or going online looking at some free courses, but sometimes there are things that just don't click in their mind, mm-hmm. and this gives you an opportunity to talk to somebody in the field, someone who holds that certification.
Okay. So there's a lot of talk lately about, you know, cybersecurity has been such a technical profession. And I'm hearing computer science, I'm hearing technology people, you know, people looking mm-hmm. for that credential. Is there any thoughts you have, or what do you guys do to link in, you know, the decision makers, the business side of things? You did say that you had a lot to do with policy, which kind of is the technical cross to some of those organizational things. But as far as if we said that, you know, how can we reach out to bridge the gap between the technical people who seem to talk one language and the business people who talk another, but yet the decision making and a lot of the checks are written from the business side, how do we bridge that to kind of make this cybersecurity thing mainstream?
That is one of the things that we continue to work with. When you talk to computer personnel on a general field, especially techies, they always want to talk technical terms and how they do things and use all those great and wonderful acronyms, BIOS and O's mm-hmm. and ones, because they are comfortable with it. So in our organization, what we try to do is bridge that gap and give them some instructions on, yes, understand you like that technical field. If you want to work it, you can work in that field and never have to talk that language. However, if we as professionals do not have individuals that are willing to bridge that in talking to management, talking management and high-level VP, director-level language, mm-hmm. then we're never going to survive. And I think that is coming to a realization to some of the mature individuals in the cybersecurity. They have to learn how to talk to their bosses, how to talk to the director, and what terms they have to use. They have to be able to explain return of investments. They have to explain how this product or why things have to be done. And even because these are normally things that are not tangible, mm-hmm. and it's very difficult for a manager, for a owner to understand the difference, understand what he is getting for the money he's putting out.
So we're looking at, you know, on the technical people side, maybe some interpersonal skills that go along with working with management. What are we doing? You know, I was talking to UCCS, some decision makers, the other day, and they talked about how all their training programs for cyber are in their computer science, their IT department, their engineering department. And I said, well, what are we doing to talk to the business people? Because we have to bridge that gap from both directions. And what's your thoughts in that area?
I think it's very important that the colleges require them to bridge that gap. Even if they're in a technical side, if you are in a software development and you're writing software, how are you going to present that to sell it? And that is something the instructors, the teachers, the professors can get these students more involved in presenting their product to a non-technical person. And the more exposure they have on that, I think will help them out a great deal yeah. to be able to say, this is my product, this is what it will do, and this is the advantage it will give you. So it's teaching them to be comfortable in coming out of their shell.
Yeah.
A lot of technical people, they're technical because they like their computers. And we've got to expose them a little bit more. The chapter, the local chapter here, had a what we call a networking event last year where people came. And the whole theme was, don't talk to somebody you know. So talk to someone different. And then we had...
how did that go?
Actually, it went very, very well. Uh-huh. It was superb. We had a few companies there. We had Bonacor. We had a couple other companies come in and talk how to interview, how to apply for a job, how to use social media to be able to go out and get a job. So it did work out well. We will also do it again this year in September. But our theme this year is don't talk to who you know, but we're going to present information how to promote yourself, mm-hmm. how to talk to your boss, how to promote the things that you do, how to get your stuff ahead, whether it's with certifications or capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always that divide. I guess I'm curious, what if you look at it the other way. What are we doing to train the business people to understand us techies?
And that's been interesting. With my career path that I have chosen, the senior leadership I've dealt with have grown up with no technology, and they've mm-hmm. had to learn it, and they either like it or they don't, mm-hmm. typically. What I've seen in the last few years now is that leadership has learned to embrace technology out of necessity.
Or else they're moving out of the workforce. Are we saying we have to get rid of them? Is that what you're saying?
They're seeing they don't have an option.
Yeah.
So they have to embrace it. And they, even if they don't like it, they know it is something they have to use, and being able and getting their support about the security of this and understanding it better. And the more that the upper management becomes aware of technology, becomes a little bit easier to talk to them on a regular basis. We do have some people out there still, some upper management that are not embraced, that does not understand technology. And it's talking to them and explaining, do you understand what this means, and breaking it down for them in their terms.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Something I've noticed, I've been attending cybersecurity conferences for the last 10 plus years, and I see the average age getting older every year. We don't seem to be engaging like the millennial and younger generation. Do you see that same thing with your members and your base there?
Then that you are correct. We are 3 years ago, our president Pat Laverty noticed there were way too many gray hairs out in our audience, and that's when our mentorship program and getting involved with UCCS started to be a priority for the chapter. Mm-hmm. Is that we need to have these younger individuals come into the chapter.
We determined why? Do you have any ideas of why that engagement's not happening?
I believe.
You're looking now at younger kids, K-12, college, coming into the workforce, but there seems to be like a 20-some, 30-some year old people. That gap is missing.
I agree. I think part of it is when you're in your 20s and 30s, and I think sometimes we as mature adults forget, your focus is working and enjoying life, not belonging to an organization. And so that's an age group that is going to be difficult to get involved totally with a chapter. Being a member should not be that bad. Uh-huh. Come talk to people, learn.
But do you think this is a cultural difference? Because, I mean, obviously, I talk to these kids. They're very tech savvy, and a lot of them more so than people you have in these seasoned positions. But it seems like the disconnect for me is, or to me, and this is just, I'm curious if you can vet this, is that there's a cultural difference that the view on belonging to an organization and taking ownership of a vested organization doesn't resonate with them because of cultural reasons. And I cite quite often that for a lot of them, Edward Snowden is their hero. The people who are against companies, against governments, against big business are the people that they would follow. But yet cybersecurity as an industry seems to be in support of that opposition.
I think we're looking at society as a whole. I mean, you know, let's look at society and the way that generation, the 20s and mm-hmm. the 30s, every one of us have been non-establishment. You talk about let's just go back as far as the 70s and the 80s and establishment was bad, and the thought pattern was, you know, non-government, free mm-hmm. love. In the 90s, beginning with the 2000, it was a different focus than it is now. We've got to protect the environment. We've got to do things, again, non-establishment. So uh-huh. I think it's that rebellious age.
Do you think that it fixes itself with age and these people come in when they get to a certain age? Or do you think the culture is going to change something. The next thing is going to come around in that age group, and something at the higher ages is going to fade off.
I don't believe so. I think what we're going to see is that as they mature, as they start building their lives, building their families, that they realize at that point, oh, maybe this isn't a bad thing. I think the organization like ISSA, yes, we're going to get, and I think we're working towards getting more of the 30, late 30s involved, maybe early 30s involved, because they're going to be starting their families and their careers more prominently and seeing the advantage of being in these type of organizations. We as an organization need to look at trying to figure out how to associate with the younger group. Mm-hmm. And I believe with the younger members, we're going to be able to do that. And that focus with our mentorship program is occurring right now. We, our membership lead, Melissa, asked if, hey, can I have pizza and beer party with the individuals? Why, of course you can. You know, we'll give you a budget and, you know, go with them. So it's us as the mature generation being able to go, yes, it's okay, because that's how they're going to learn. Mm-hmm. That's how they're going to see the organization expects and respects them for who they are and what they do. As a mature individual, sometimes I don't always agree or see their point of view, mm-hmm. and have to go, wait a minute, it's a new generation. They have to do it their way to get to the same point. Just like when I was that age, I had to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to some gray hair person about how to live my life. And so I think it's a changing of the organization of mindset to be able to let them learn that way. If that's what you want, you know, you want to learn Security Plus and you want to sit outside and do it, mm-hmm. what's the harm?
So now I've also been to a lot of entrepreneurial groups in town, and I've seen that demographic there. It's in a different direction. So, and I've heard so much over and over again that, you know, the culture has changed to where, you know, from that age down, it's an entrepreneurial culture. And the aligning, back to the aligning with big organizations, big businesses, is not really in their thought process. And I see that when I go to these startup meetings and everything, new tech and whatever, mm-hmm. that they're represented there and they're all excited about something that is their own startup and working on their own, building their own brand online, whatever they're doing. But that age and that demographic is in this local area. It yes. is in those organizations, but not in the cyber. And you know, I just the even the leadership that I've talked to for the NCIC and the effort here in the Springs, there's not really a good answer to how to combine this. So I think a networking group like ISSA could be a good bridge in this area. And that's kind of why I'm bringing this to your attention, that we've heard this repeatedly. Those people are engaging in business, but cybersecurity doesn't seem to be their interest. And how can we kind of fix that?
And I think part of that is letting them know how much actually cybersecurity is involved in their business. They are looking at being their own person, which we all did at that stage. Mm-hmm. And the population today of that age is probably smarter than we were at that age. And she would say, hey, look, you know, we're not going to tell you how to do it, but come talk to us. And being able to discuss that. We've had Pikes Peak Chaos come and talk to our meetings. And the welcome they got was just wonderful, because they were able to present their material to us and was very accepted by our members. And I think they're a little bit scared about doing that. You know, are they going to accept me for being so young, teaching, you know, you as a mature cybersecurity something new, something different? And they learned, I believe, very quickly, oh yeah, and show them that respect. And a lot of times, I think they just need to know that they're going to be respected for who they are, and in ISSA, Colorado Springs, they will be. We're not going to put them down. There mm-hmm. are different opinions and different ideas. And I think we're acceptable to that and like to listen to those new ideas.
You know, that's an interesting thing that you just said, is the acceptance factor. Because I know at a rather young age, I was presenting and speaking on cyber topics. And that was the toughest audiences you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those people who all kind of viewed themselves as an expert, we'll say from the old guard, looked at me with crossed arms, not a peep out of the audience, and I didn't know how I was accepted. And, you know, there were some important things that we were getting across in those, but yet the audience was very unreceptive. And I think that's a good thing to kind of focus on. So that's a good direction. I like that.
Oh, good. Well, and having been a parent and now a grandparent, one of the things I've learned that you've got to accept them for what they are. I've worked with the military for a very long time, and each time a new soldier comes in and they got another idea, it actually makes me think, okay, did I miss something here? Will this work? And give them the prop and the credit of bringing up new ideas. They do have some great ideas. You should not just throw them away that, no, this won't work, but mm-hmm. look at it a little bit deeper, talk to them. And then if it needs to be adjusted, talk to them why and work with them and let them come up with that idea also.
Yeah. Well, good. So now ISSA, anything you want to put out that you could use help with or that you want to get involved with, people you'd like to reach if they're listening to this that would say, hey, contact you because you're looking for this type of...
Actually, if anyone's interested in what the chapter does, what you think we can help you with, or if you have any questions, definitely get a hold of the chapter. We do have a website, issa-cos.org. You will find us out there. There is a place on there to contact the board. Send us an email if you're interested in training. If you're interested in having a mentor or being a mentor and you're part of the chapter, definitely come in. Let us know. We'll get back with you. It is a good place to come in. And
what does membership fees, how much you charge? How often is it yearly renewal?
There is a yearly membership fee. We belong to an international organization, and that is $90 to belong to them as a general member. We also have student membership, and then we have what's called a Freedom Program. And what that is a student that's in college that is not working into the IT field. Their membership is paid by international. Our cost, as far as Colorado Springs, is an additional $25. That comes back to us. And then $90 stays with international.
And I would recommend any student that is not a technology to join ISSA and to start understanding what security is and how it touches their organization. That's where it's the biggest need, I think, is those people that maybe not be technical. And, you know, you're reaching the technical, they want to group together because they want to. But really, this needs to reach those people that, you know, are business majors or human resource majors. Come join the ISSA and get plugged in, because the future world of virtuality is not going away, and you're the important bridge if you learn, you know, how to connect with the technological piece.
And there may be a meeting that's, and in those aspects, one meeting may be totally not your cup of tea. We do have some information. I am not into technology. I am not a technical person. I can do it. It's just not something I really enjoy. And we had a meeting where they were talking about virtual switches and routers and networking. And it's like, that's really nice. I'm glad we had an audience full of individuals. Just was not my cup of tea. And that's fine, because the next meeting was how to look at a system, look at vulnerabilities, do risk management. That I was interested in. So it's not necessary that you have to come to all the meetings. Come to the meetings you enjoy, you want to hear about. You may want to try some of the other meetings. You're thinking, I really don't like that. And you can be surprised, oh, that is interesting. I want to learn more about that.
Yeah, and just come to get plugged in with what's going on in the local area. It's a great resource and networking event for that.
Get plugged in with the local area. Get plugged in with people who have the same interests, and we'll talk to you about your interests, whether they're currently involved, was involved. We've got people from every aspects of cybersecurity, whether it's in the non-technical side to the extreme technical side, such as we have ethical hackers, we have people who have their own business to do penetration tests, do a risk analysis. We have the whole gamut.
All right. Well, thanks for joining today, Cindy. Cindy Thornburg from ISSA, the president of the local chapter. And we definitely appreciate all your insights.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be able to do this.
All right. All right. Have a nice day. Thanks.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.